Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It's about that time. It is an absolutely beautiful day in the neighborhood. Shout out to Mr. Rogers. A happy Wednesday to you all. I call it hump day on this June 26, 2019. And yes, it's like, you know, a carbon copy of what we saw yesterday around this time. Now, we did see some rain later on in the evening yesterday, but for the most part, 90% of Tuesday was beautiful. And it looks as though it's going to be a great day today as well throughout its entirety. Happy Wednesday, Mid-Michigan. Thank you so much for allowing us to be a part of your weekday afternoon here at WKAR's Current Sports. A lot to get to on today's show. The Michigan Wolverines baseball team in the College World Series championship fell to Vanderbilt last night, thus setting up a deciding Game 3 tonight at 7 p.m. on ESPN. We will know who will be the champion of the college baseball world. Will it be Vandy or will it be U of M? We'll dive into that a bit. Also, the NCAA is deciding to tighten transfer guidelines. So players who decide to transfer collegiately, it's going to be a bit harder to gain immediate eligibility if you do so. I'll pour through those new guidelines, and I'll give you my thoughts on whether or not they are needed in the college realm today. So don't miss that. Also, I do want to touch on the Rocket Mortgage PGA Tour event happening in the D in Detroit. Awesome stuff. The first PGA Tour event officially in the city of Detroit. And, you know, the Pro-Am took place yesterday. There was a three-hole tournament yesterday for a really cool, like, wrestling-type belt. This morning kicked off the official Pro-Am, you know, 18 holes. And, you know, they kind of split it up. I think every celeb played about 9 holes apiece. And, yes, that does include your head coach of the Michigan State men's basketball team, Mr. Tom Izzo. And I looked at a few videos yesterday. You know, a few local reporters were out there covering that event yesterday. You know, Tom Izzo mingling with guys like Jerome Bettis and famed rock star Kid Rock. And Tom played pretty well from what I saw. You know, he was great off the tee. You know, just about every tee shot that he hit the fairway, which is awesome, right? So you get my thoughts on the Celebrity Pro-Am and Tom Izzo playing in it. And, yes, he did talk just a tad bit, just a smidget of Michigan State basketball, and a few points I want to bring home when it comes to that. And we'll elaborate on the Moneyball Summer League Pro-Am set to start tomorrow. 4 games at Aim High Sports Complex out in Diamonddale, Michigan. And just a reminder, you know, you don't want to miss tomorrow's show because we will have the founder of Moneyball Sportswear, the founder of the Moneyball Summer League Pro-Am, Mr. Desmond Ferguson, will be on the show tomorrow at 1 p.m. Don't miss tomorrow's show. But today, as you see, our plate runneth over. A lot to get to. If you would like to be a part of the show, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9646. 95-27. Go to Facebook.com, and you can check out the live stream there at Facebook.com/WKAR News. And you can tweet us, tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, it looks like the popping of champagne bottles are going to have to wait at least one more day when it comes to the Michigan baseball team's run for a possible College World Series championship, as the Wolverines dropped its first game of the College World Series yesterday, falling to number 2 Vanderbilt 4-1 in game 2 of the championship series. The Wolverines, who started the College World Series with 4 straight dubs, had a chance to win the national title on Tuesday. Could not figure out, though, how to hit dominant freshman pitcher Kumar Rocker. And I love that name. Kumar Rocker. Rocker pitched 6.1 innings, allowed just 1 run on 3 hits and 2 walks while striking out 11 batters. He threw 104 pitches. He is really like the star pitcher for Vandy. He's absolutely amazing. He actually threw a no-hitter this season earlier. So we'll see what happens. Game 3 tonight, the deciding game. Winner takes the College World Series championship. I'll be checking out that one tonight for sure. All right. And as I just mentioned, Tom Izzo, among other celebrities, participated in the Rocket Mortgage 3-hole competition yesterday, and Izzo's team Tuesday in the best ball scramble included Bubba Watson, the 22nd player in the world, Red Wings goalie Jimmy Howard, and women's long drive competitor Troy Mullins. And in full disclosure here, Connor Mathis, the man behind the glass, when I found out that Tom Izzo was being paired on the same team with world long drive champ Troy Mullins, man, my heart sank a bit because I have such a huge... She's like my celebrity crush. She's one of my celebrity crushes, along with like Rihanna, Zoe Saldana as well. Troy Mullins, I love her. And to see her paired with Tom Izzo, I was a jealous dude yesterday. Not even go. Do you even know who Troy Mullins is? Please do a quick Google, Connor. She is absolutely gorgeous. Connor's shaking his head saying, no, I have no idea who Troy Mullins is, but she is awesome and an amazing golfer. But she kind of one-upped Tom Izzo, believe it or not, yesterday, Connor, because I believe on the first hole of that three-hole competition, Troy Mullins, she shanked her ball into the trees, and they actually played, again, it's a best ball competition, so best ball is what the team plays, and Tom Izzo, I believe they played his ball because he was in the fairway. So this is what Izzo said after completing the three-hole area. They call it the Area 313 Challenge, of course, a play on the area code for the D. Quote, "I'm just glad I didn't maim anybody." Then he goes on to say, "It's a lot different, even though I'm in 70 to 80,000-seat arenas. It's my players that are playing. I'm just making a fool out of myself. They're playing. Here, I'm playing and making a fool out of myself, so I got both problems," end quote. So the event is part of the festivities leading into the Rocket Mortgage Classic, the PGA Tour's debut in Detroit. He will also take part. He has also taken part, I should say. I believe he's wrapped up his round now. He took part in today's Delta Dental Pro-Am, teed off at 7:50 a.m., so he's definitely wrapped up. I don't know what his score is or anything like that, but he played just 9 holes alongside Charles Howell III and Scott Brown for the back nine, which actually began at 9:15
for Izzo. I saw him hit a bunker shot. I retweeted that on my Twitter page at Al Martin, WKAR. Not a great bunker shot for Coach Izzo. It kind of ran, and the greens were running fast. It's a beautiful day, so that's expected. So not sure how Tom shot during his nine holes today, but I'll have more thoughts on what looks to be a great, great course at the Detroit Golf Club at the Rocket Mortgage Classic. Let's just hope that the weather continues to be beautiful for the four-day competition, which, again, officially begins tomorrow. All right. Seven Michigan State University student-athletes have been recognized for excellence on both the playing field and in the classroom, earning the school's highest athletic honors for 2018-19. The awards include the George Alderton Male and Female Athletes of the Year, the Big Ten Conference Medals of Honor, the Chester Brewer Leadership Award, and Dr. James Feurig Achievement and Service Award. A panel of administrators and coaches selected the winners. When it comes to Cassius Winston of the Michigan State men's basketball team, he won the George Alderton Male Athlete of the Year Award, while golfer Allie Gear Park won, and also alongside, I should say, so Allie Gear Park and track and field athlete Aisha Reynolds shared the George Alderton Female Co-Athletes of the Year honors. So golfer Allie Gear Park and track and field athlete Aisha Reynolds, Female Athletes of the Year, and Cassius Winston winning the Male Athlete of the Year award. So that's awesome stuff. Okay, and as I mentioned at the top of the hour, the NCAA Division I Council is expected to approve a package of new guidelines that could make it more difficult for college football and basketball players who transfer to receive immediate eligibility via waivers. The council is scheduled to meet today out in Indianapolis to review the updated guidelines and directives, which in many cases appear to specify and narrow the circumstances in which athletes should be given waivers and raise the documentation requirements to obtain them. Compliance staff at D1 schools were made aware of the proposals last week. So I'll comb through the details of what the NCAA is trying to do to tighten these transfer guidelines, making it a bit more difficult for athletes who decide to transfer to immediately play and not have to sit out a year. Stay tuned for that. The Detroit Tigers, the struggles at Comerica Park continued last night. They kicked off a six-game homestand with a 5-3 loss against the Texas Rangers. Yeah, the Tigers. The Tigers. They are now 2-18 in the last 21 home games. They are actually 1-9 in their last 10 games as well. They've been outscored by 96 runs in those games and out-homered 44-12. It's just not a great time to be a fan of the old English D. All right, the drama that is NBA free agency continues. Once free agency starts officially on Sunday, the Houston Rockets are planning to recruit Jimmy Butler to push the Philadelphia 76ers for a sign-and-trade deal that would allow the all-star forward to join James Harden and Chris Paul out in Houston. This is being reported by ESPN. Now, the Rockets don't have the salary cap space to sign Butler, so they need the threat of the Sixers losing him for nothing to a team with the available room to motivate Philly into a trade. Now, the Rockets also would potentially need to make this a multi-team deal to satisfy the rules of base year compensation that would cover Butler's outgoing salary. And also, this news broke today. Carmelo Anthony is looking to make his return to the NBA, and it is being reported that it's, quote, most likely, end quote, that Melo will join forces with LeBron James and Anthony Davis out in L.A. with the purple and gold of the L.A. Lakers. The New York Knicks are also rumored to be interested in Melo. Didn't we see that story before? So, yeah, there's your latest when it comes to a few stars in the league and rumors as to where those stars could end up once free agency begins on Sunday. And Bob Lee, iconic sports broadcaster who was the longest tenured employee at ESPN, the mothership, he announced today that he is retiring from the company after nearly 40 years. The Outside the Lines host had been on a sabbatical for the last 10 months. He announced on social media that he is leaving the company permanently next week. Lee joined ESPN 2 days after the network was founded back in 1979. How about that? And also, United States Women's National Team soccer star, Captain Megan Rapinoe, and President Donald Trump are continuing to go round and round about protesting during the national anthem, with Trump answering Rapinoe's latest comment on Wednesday morning on Twitter. Her practice of silence has come into the spotlight with the team in the Women's World Cup, and Trump recently said that he doesn't believe it's appropriate for her to protest during the anthem. Now, she responded on Tuesday in a video via 8x8 magazine, saying definitely, quote, "I'm not going to the bleeping White House. We're not going to be invited. I doubt it." Now, Trump did respond tagging her and saying, "Woman soccer player M. Pino," that's her Twitter handle, "just stated that she is not going to the bleeping White House if we win." Other than the NBA, which now refuses to call owners, please explain that I just got criminal justice reform passed. Black unemployment is at the lowest level in our country's history, and the poverty index is also the best number ever. Again, this is all in Trump's very long tweet. President Trump continues to tweet, "Leagues and teams love coming to the White House. I am a big fan of the American team, the women's soccer squad, but Megan should win first before she talks. Finish the job. We haven't yet. Dot, dot, dot." So there's some drama there. All right. That does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News and comment below the live stream. Also tweet us. Tweet me at Al Martin WKAR or tweet the show at WKAR News. Here we go. All right, folks, before I proceed, you know, I talked about the Rocket Mortgage Celebrity Pro-Am taking place these last 2 days, and Tom Izzo alongside celebrities like The Bus, Jerome Bettis, Detroit native, Kid Rock, famed rock star, and others, many, many others, including women's long drive champion Troy Mullins. I just professed my love for Troy. I love her. Love her. I have a huge crush on Troy Mullins. And shout out to one of our listeners, Stephanie, who just messaged me a picture of Tiger Woods and Troy together. And I know this picture. I remember when it was posted on Troy's Instagram page. And it's her alongside Tiger. And Stephanie says, "There's your bromance and your crush." Which is so true. I'm a huge Tiger Woods fan. That's my guy. That is my guy. So, yeah, him alongside Troy Mullins, that's an awesome picture. So, yeah, I couldn't believe that, though, because I saw a few local reporters here in the area who were covering the three-hole celebrity pro-am yesterday, and I'm watching Tom Izzo, all these videos of Tom Izzo, and I'm like, hold on. because Troy wears like this natural big fro, natural hair. It's so beautiful. So beautiful. And I'm like, hold on, that looks like her. I mean, because you can't miss that huge hair that she wears. And I'm like, that really looks like her. But no, I don't think that's her. Then all of a sudden, I look at another video of Tom Izzo, who hit a very good shot, approach shot yesterday, by the way. Tom Izzo is a pretty good golfer. I noted that on yesterday's Current Sports, or I believe on Monday's Current Sports. He's a pretty good golfer. And he hits a pretty good short game shot. And all of a sudden, he turns around and, you know, sure as I knew it, you know, he turns around and gives a high five to Troy. And I'm like, oh, that is Troy. And all of a sudden, I look on Instagram and I see those three together. There's some really cool pictures with Tom and Troy and Bubba Watson and all these different celebrities. But it's an awesome time. And Tom, yes, I am jealous of you. I am incredibly jealous of you right now. But it's awesome, though, just to see the PGA Tour in Detroit. Now, I did state this as well this week. If Tiger Woods said that he was going to play in this tournament, you know, because after the U.S. Open, he said he was going to take some time off and we won't see Tiger until the British Open. Tiger is up in age now. He just can't play the rigorous schedule that he used to play on the PGA Tour. But if he did announce that he was going to make the trip to Detroit, as we haven't seen Tiger here in Michigan play an event since like the Buick Open, and that was like 10 plus years ago. And that was held in Flint, in the Flint area. So if Tiger did announce that he was going to play in Detroit, Connor, I would have gotten me a credential and I would have been doing this show this week from the Detroit Golf Club, okay? That would have been awesome to see Tiger Woods back in Michigan doing his thing on the tour. But this is actually the first PGA Tour event officially in Detroit. Again, Buick Open was in Flint, the Grand Blanc area. That's not officially Detroit, okay? That's not Detroit at all, really. That's an hour and some change away from Detroit. This is awesome. The course looks to be in great, great condition. And to see all these golf greats, you know, Bubba Watson and Ricky Fowler. I've seen many pictures of Ricky Fowler out there mingling with the fans. It's just awesome to see that. And the weather, we all know that we have been complaining. I have been complaining about the weather here in Michigan. It looks as though it's going to rain, at least according to my forecast on my cell phone. It looks as though it's going to rain on Thursday and Friday. All right, I don't know when, I don't know how much rain, but we'll just have to wait and see. I know, and that may cause a wrinkle in the plans of the Rocket Mortgage Classic. But we'll see. You know, you never know. This weather could change. It could change, and we could see picture-perfect days. That's what I'm hoping, at least. But it's awesome. And also, you know, I looked at a few of the tee shots of many that were out there alongside Tom Izzo. And, you know, I just thought to myself, if I played in a celebrity pro-am one day, and, you know, I'm sitting there on the tee box, because you guys know I'm an avid golfer. I love golf. It's become like my number one hobby. It's got to be a bit intimidating when you're out there. I'm used to playing just with the homies, right? With my stepdad mostly, right? We're out there. It's just us two and maybe a few friends. But if I'm out there on the tee box and at these celebrity pro-ams, there are people lining the fairways and taking pictures of you, that's a lot of pressure. And for Tom Izzo to go out there, I guess he's used to pressure, right? Like he said in that quote, I mean, he's used to coaching in front of so many fans. But again, he's not performing. He's not the athlete who has to get the job done. He's coaching. That's what he does. That's what he's comfortable with. So when you're playing a sport like golf and everybody's watching you, that's got to be a bit intimidating. And I saw a few tee shots, i.e. MSU's own Justin Abdelkader of the Detroit Red Wings. I mean, he just shanked the thing. I mean, you couldn't see it. You saw the tee shot. And then you heard him yell, four! And then you heard people say, oh, man, that's in the trees. And then Troy Mullins, who's a great golfer, long drive champ, she goes in the trees. That's got to be some pressure. That's some pressure, all right? So I just wonder how I would have performed under those circumstances. Because, again, I'm just used to being out there with the homies and doing my Al Woods thing, all right? But it looks like a great event, a great course. And it should be a fun weekend. I know, you know, tickets have been selling like hotcakes, and the gallery should be fired up and ready for what looks to be a great weekend of golf in the city of Detroit. So All right, just wanted to touch on that. Now, before we hit our first break, I want to talk about the new guidelines that the NCAA is expected to approve when it comes to allowing transfers to be immediately eligible. And, you know, this is a topic that there are numerous takes on this. I have heard some people that are backing up the NCAA when it comes to this and some people who are against it. And for me, I can see both sides. And I'll just say this. I am, when it comes to the athlete, when it comes to young men and women under the umbrella of the NCAA, I am, for the most part, going to back up the athlete because I believe that the NCAA exposes these young men and women. They don't get, I mean, again, yeah, they get their tuition paid for, right? That's cool. But at the end of the day, especially when it comes to the revenue sports, the big-time sports like college basketball and college football, and that is what these new guidelines are addressing, college football and college basketball. These athletes, these young athletes are exploited to the nth degree. You guys know how I feel about that. I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole right now. So when it comes to the NCAA Council in this regard, when it comes to this topic, again, expecting to approve a package of new guidelines that could make it more difficult for college football and basketball players who transfer to receive immediate eligibility via waivers. There's a few things that I have to see here if you're going to make this thing foolproof. Because one, I'll say this. Do I believe that there are some college athletes out there who transfer at the drop of a hat? And is that fair to that said coach and that said coaching staff and that said program? No, not at all. There are some young men and women out there who at the very first sign of adversity say to themselves, I can't do this, I'm out, deuces, I'm transferring. And it could be very minor and very minuscule. There are some athletes that come to mind right now when saying that to you all through this microphone. There are some athletes that I've seen here at Michigan State that have decided to transfer because of just really small, minuscule adversity, you know, playing time, maybe not getting enough balls thrown their way, not getting enough shots, you know, just not, you know, not happy with the way that the coach is interacting with them, blah, blah, blah. Okay, I get it. And every circumstance is different, right? I don't agree with that kid who decides to transfer for the small stuff. But there are some cases where it's serious, where it's legit. We've seen in the college game where maybe a coach who has recruited you decides to leave for another school or may coach in the pros somewhere. That's not fair to that young man. If that coach came to that young man or woman's living room and said, and promised all of these things, yeah, we want to do this, we're going to implement you in the system this way, you're going to get a lot of playing time, blah, 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 promised you these dreams, and then all of a sudden you get there and that coach decides to leave due to another opportunity. If that happens, then that young man or woman should have the right to transfer. Because you came there on the promise that that coach was going to be there and you guys were going to have this mutual beneficial relationship that was going to hopefully blossom into a great athletic career. You should be able to transfer if that happens. So there are certain circumstances that should allow for that. All right? But once you do transfer, because, you know, what I have a problem with is that young athlete who transfers and then transfers again and then transfers again and then, oh, yeah, oh, I'm going to transfer again. That it gets ridiculous. I have seen some young athletes out there who have transferred 2 to 3 times. You know, it kind of reminds me of the dating world, right? You know, we all know that person. We all have that friend or family member
who just hops from relationship to relationship, hoping that that next relationship is going to be the one, right? That next relationship is going to blossom into an engagement and then hopefully marriage, and you are going to live happily ever after. But again, we all have that person in our lives that we know just hops into relationship to relationship. And then, you know, after like the second or third relationship, you're sitting there saying to yourself, okay, you know, if I had to guess, the problem isn't the people that he or she is dating. The problem is he or she. At some point, you got to look yourself in the mirror and say, okay, this is too much. I need to work on me. I need to see one of these relationships through. Because if you keep hopping from school to school to school, there's a problem with you. With you, that young athlete. Maybe you need to learn some discipline. Maybe you need to learn how to fight through adversity. Maybe you just need to sit down somewhere and figure out who you are. So with these new transfer guidelines, as you see, there are layers in my opinion. And that is why I believe that, and this is how I would do it. If I'm a member of that NCAA council, I think that every athlete should get at least one transfer where you can transfer and you can play immediately. Because again, there are certain circumstances out there and young kids make mistakes. Yeah, it's a lot of pressure, especially if you're a big-time athlete and you got all this pressure, you got the weight on the world on your shoulders trying to make this decision that could impact the rest of your life. You know, where you go to college is a very big decision. But you're young, you know, 17, 18 years old, you make mistakes. You're going to make a mistake from time to time. And if you do feel like you have made a mistake and you transfer, all right, well, I'll give you one mulligan. But after that, if you decide to transfer again, you got to sit out. You got to sit out for a year. Think about what went wrong and really, you know, sit out for a year, observe the program that you have transferred into to see if that's the right relationship, and then you can get on the playing field. There's got to be a consequence because these coaches, I don't know how college coaches do it. I don't know how Tom Izzo does it. Always on the road, always on a plane, always on a bus, always in a, you know, private, I don't know, private car, I don't know. On the road, always traveling, trying to recruit players that can come in and impact your program that equate to wins, and wins equate to job security. Losses equate to you being on the hot seat eventually, depending on how long that leash is for you. I don't know how coaches do it. So if you're out there on the road all the time, and this young man or woman that you recruit comes to your program and says, I'm not feeling it, which happens. I mean, that's a gut punch to you as a coach sometimes. It really is. And again, sometimes relationships don't work out, and it's a mutual thing where that coach says, this isn't working out. You know, I think it may be best for you to transfer. But if you've just got kids just transferring left and right for, you know, goodness knows what reason, there's got to be a consequence eventually for that said athlete, because it's not fair to the coaching staff that recruited you. It's not fair to that head coach that recruited you. It's not fair to the program that recruited you. It's not fair to the fans. So I'll give you one mulligan, because we all make mistakes. We all deserve a second chance in this crazy thing that we call life. But after that, so again, I'll give you that one mulligan. You can play immediately. But after that, no, you got to sit out. You got to sit out. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. So when it comes to what the NCAA council expects to do here, the language, I will say this, the language of what they expect to approve, and I don't know if they have approved it yet. Again, these meetings are happening right now out in Indianapolis. I don't know if they approved it this morning or they're still debating about it. But when you look at the language is out there. And the language isn't terribly different overall from last year's policy. You know, they use words, though, like, quote, extenuating and, quote, extraordinary when describing this. This is what the wordage reads.
in cases where an athlete was run off by a coach or essentially had their scholarship pulled for non-disciplinary reasons, the NCAA will require a written statement from the athletics director at the previous school stating whether the athlete would not have had an opportunity to return to the team. The committee is being instructed to deny cases where the athlete can't document that they've been run off. It continues here. The previous guidelines allowed waivers to be granted for, quote, egregious behavior by a staff member or student at the previous institution, as long as the previous school did not oppose the waiver, giving the committee a fairly broad window to view those claims. So the updated version says waivers should be granted for documented cases where the athlete was a victim of, quote, physical assault or abuse, sexually inappropriate behavior, racial abuse, religious discrimination, questioning of sexuality by a staff member or student at the previous institution, end quote, though the definition isn't limited to those areas. Again, that's coming from Dan Wolkin of USA Today Sports and diving into this. So that's some of the wordage that we're seeing here. And again, there are numerous circumstances out there that lead to a young athlete deciding to transfer. You know, Michael Felder of the Stadium tweeted this yesterday. Well, excuse me. No, this morning, actually. I saw this tweet from Michael Felder, who's a, you know, he's a college football analyst for the Stadium. He says, what happens when a kid gets pushed from running back or linebacker to scout defensive tackle? Does that get documented as abuse? Does the defensive back who gets forced to be beat up as a scout wide receiver because he wants to leave, or is it in the too deep, get counted as abuse? Then Michael Felder goes on to tweet, are we asking more of the 17 to 22-year-olds in terms of documentation than of the schools and adults? And that's all fair. That is all fair from Michael Felder. Again, the circumstances vary as to why we see certain athletes transfer. I just think that the NCAA looked at the amount of transfers, because it certainly ramped up last year, the amount of transfers in the transfer portal, and they heard complaints by coaches who complained to athletic directors, who complained to the upper echelon of those in the NC2A, and the NCAA said, okay, we got to do something about this. We got to do something about this, because there are way too many names out there, and coaches aren't happy, athletic directors aren't happy, and that makes our job a lot tougher. Before I hit the first break, Connor Matz is behind the glass. Connor, your thoughts on this?
Okay, the language that the NCAA employs with the transfer as it stands now and as they're trying to amend it is ridiculous to begin with. The whole, you have to get written permission from written documentation from the AD. If the coach is doing something bad, if the coach is doing something that's not great, but the coach is still winning games, what is the likelihood that that AD is going to be all the way forthcoming and saying that this is he would not have gotten this opportunity here? I mean, that to me is already a red flag number one. The other thing, when I see him typing,
stop there real quick. Yeah. So you're saying if the coach is winning games, right? And there's a kid on that roster that wants to transfer, what is the likelihood of the athletic director who has to give written documentation, what is the likelihood of that AD not having the coaches back and saying that the young man or woman is in the wrong here?
Exactly.
Okay, I see what you're saying. And with that, I say there needs to be a system of checks and balances. Mm-hmm,
exactly.
There needs to be somebody from the NCAA that comes in and really investigates the situation, sits down with that young man or woman, and sits down with the coaching staff, and then draw a conclusion from there. And that comes down to the hiring process of the NCAA council, and hoping that you have hired the right people to handle situations
and,
like that.
And that's where I am not confident in the NCAA at all. Because right. under the current system, you have players, the big-time quarterbacks who we saw, they've all of a sudden lost their jobs, the Justin Fields, the Tate Martells. They've lost their starting job, and all of a sudden they're immediately eligible to go play at wherever the heck they feel like, because it would look better for the brand of college football if these big name quarterbacks play immediately. Then you have other people, there's an Illinois tight end, Luke Ford. He wanted to transfer so he'd be closer to his grandfather who is sick. The NCAA denied that twice. There's been other cases where players want to move closer to family because the family's having health issues. The family's having a care issue. There's something that they need to be closer to their family. For whatever reason, the NCAA says, no, that's not a desperate enough circumstance. But in cases where it's a big name guy who, by all accounts, there's no abuses happening, or there's minimum, like, non-severe stuff, like, oh, I'm not getting playing time, that kind of argument happening, where they're getting immediately eligibility, and that's ridiculous. And I think that they tighten those restrictions, I think you're still going to have the big-name guy who is, I'm fed up with with my situation right now. I'm going to say that such and such is happening, and I'm going to get the immediate thing because that person's big enough to where the NCAA, what are they going to do? They're going to shut down a top tier talent for a year? Probably not.
Right.
But
right.
All these other athletes who are actually in positions where they need to transfer for family for whatever issue that they should get the transfer, but they historically are not getting it.
And I will say, again, there has to be a system of checks and balances here, Connor, because what I'm afraid, and I hate to think this, I hate to have this thought, but I think that there are going to be some, not all, there are going to be some people out there that may abuse that. There are going to be some athletes that may lie and say, oh, yeah, I got to be close to family because of this, this, and that. And again, there has to be an investigation. There has to be a process. Mm-hmm. Everything has a process. Because on the flip side of this thing, and you know this as well, there are some athletes out there that have hopped from school to school to school, and it still isn't working
and
out.
And I agree with you on the point of that everyone should get, like, a one-time gig. But, if you were going around a second, a third,
it's whatever, ridiculous.
That's where the NCAA should be focusing their restrictions. Not on the guy who's done, the guy or girl who's done this one time. Mm-hmm. One time,
right.
For whatever reason. I agree with you that they should be a one-time freebie, and then from there on out, if you decide to transfer again, we need to sit out a year, whatever that extra stipulation may be. I agree with you on that point, but what I'm saying is that under the current system, the past system, and even the reform system, you're putting a lot of trust in the NCAA when historically the NCAA comes up short or ignores the little athletes for the headliners who will, they're going to be the ones making the money. They're going to be the ones bringing the show.
I hear you. That's what it looks like, right? When you immediately approve a player who decides to transfer due to certain circumstances, but he's a big time athlete, you want to see him on the field because that means ratings go up, more money in your pocket. A win-win. It's a win-win.
Yeah, I'm also just going back to that point earlier, is I'm just afraid the NCAA doesn't side with players so much as they would the institutions themselves. So, goes back to, like, the having to go to an athletic department as opposed to maybe it's a school official. Maybe it's someone who's a little bit removed from athletics.
This is our first break. When we come back, I'll read some of your comments that are coming in on Facebook.com/WKAR News. We'll continue a bit of this discussion, and then I want to kind of shift gears a bit and talk about the Moneyball Summer League Pro-Am. I'll give you what the rosters look like and what to look forward to come tomorrow evening. Can you believe that? Moneyball begins tomorrow. That and more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Getting some traction on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. If you would like to call in and weigh in, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Ben says, if athletes want to transfer because they aren't happy where they are at, then let them. Why should they have to sit out for a year? Makes no sense. I hear you, Ben. That first one, I'll give you a hall pass one time, but fool me once. In some cases, it's fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, that's on me. What I mean by that is some athletes just transfer because of whatsoever. It's not legit. There's no, and that's not fair to the coaching staffs who have put in the work, put in the time, put in the hours to recruit you to their programs. They've wasted time. So I'm more so talking about the athletes again who transfer 2, 3, 4 times. And then Steven comments and says, one transfer, look at Rizin. He has transferred 3 times so far. And again, that's a perfect situation. He's transferred twice, actually. He transferred from Michigan State, that's one. Now he's transferring from Kent State, that's twice. So not 3 times, maybe 3 times. I don't know, Steven. But Kansas State for Andre Rizin. So, and that's a perfect example. Rizin is going through, first off, I'm not going to say that. I was going to give you the reason why I've heard Andre Rizin has transferred. So I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to do that. It's not fair to him. Not going to put that out in the air. I will say this. Why I heard Andre Rizin, Hunter Rizin, excuse me, transfer. I kind of just said, I just did that. I'll just say, I'll give you my reaction. I said, all right. Okay. I'll just say that. I'll leave that there for you to interpret. The second time, though, looking at why Hunter Rizin has transferred from Kansas State. Again, it's been mutually beneficial. I believe the head coach at Kansas State came out and said it's mutually beneficial. We wish Hunter the best. But Hunter is also going through this domestic battery situation, this legal situation that has occurred. He defends himself and says that, you know, he did everything right here. This is nothing. But again, 2 transfers and you have this situation on top of it, not a good look for Hunter. That is a situation that needs to be looked at by the NCAA if Hunter, in fact, wants to play immediately at whatever school he transfers to from Kansas State. So,
But wouldn't that fall under the discipline aspect of you can't get immediate eligibility for you leaving because of a potential disciplinary reason?
Potential. Again, it's he hasn't been found guilty of anything.
Yeah, no,
you know what I mean?
I got that.
If he's found guilty of something, oh, yeah. Without a doubt, Connor. If he hasn't been found guilty of anything, then you kind of look at it and say, all right, well, let the legal process play out. But again, I think in the case of Hunter, the fact that this case is looming, especially in 2019 in the world we live in, the Me Too era that we're in right now, it's just not a good look. And I doubt whether a big time college program is going to take a shot on him. You know, he may end up
JUCO.
Right, exactly. He may go to junior college. You know, heck, we may see him on what's that Netflix show?
Oh my goodness!
Last Chance U.
That's it.
He may be on Last Chance U. You know what I mean? So I just don't think there's going to be any big time college programs that are going to be willing to take a shot on him, which is so unfortunate because Hunter, I think Hunter had a great opportunity here at Michigan State. He's a legacy with his dad being Bad Moon Rizin, right? Andre Rizin, and he really could have blossomed here, but. Hey, what do I know? So, also, Mike weighs in and says, as for the NCAA guidelines, Al, what did you expect? The NCAA has to keep their indentured athletes under control. If coaches can move, so should the players be able to move. I'm totally with you, Mike. I'm totally with you. But I'm just saying the point I'm making is, again, it depends on the circumstance. If a player has a legit reason as to why they're transferring, they should be able to play right away. I'm with you on that. You know, I don't care if it is the second time. I'll give any athlete a mulligan on that first time. You can play immediately after you transfer that first time. That second time, if the circumstances are unfair to that athlete, they should play immediately that second transfer or the third transfer. You know, if the circumstances are unfair to the athlete, I'm totally with the athlete. But again, there are just some young men and women out there who are just transferring to transfer, and that is a problem, and it's not fair to the programs. And then Steven says, your parents should have a say in your process. I don't know about that one. My parents allowed me to choose where I wanted to go to college. You know, that's like, for those that want to go to college, that decision is kind of like a rite of passage in you to, you know, when it comes to you growing up, becoming an adult. That's how my parents looked at it, and I think that's how it should be treated. Are they going to give you advice? Sure. Sure, my parents gave their input, but they didn't say, Al, you got to go here or you are going here. That's wrong. I don't care if that parent is paying for your tuition or not. At the end of the day, that young man or woman, whether it be academics, athletics, whether you got a scholarship because you play in the band, it should be that young man or woman's decision as to where they want to take their quote-unquote talents collegiately. Your parents are naturally going to have, depending on the relationship that you have with them, they're naturally going to have a say, and they're going to give their opinion. But it shouldn't be up to the parents to say, little Connor, you're going to Michigan State. I don't care what you say, you're going to Michigan State. That's wrong, Connor.
And, you know, doesn't that add to the problem of, like, the parents saying, you're going to Michigan State, or you're going to Penn State, or you're going to Kansas State. Guy gets there, no spot for him on the roster. You know, it's just not his or her deal. Then you come back into the transfer issue, and you're making it worse as opposed to remedying it.
Right. I'm with you. I'm totally with you on that, man. So, yeah, I don't think that parents should have the final say. As we've seen in multiple examples, millions and millions of examples in sports, parents aren't always right. Aren't always right. And their judgment is a bit clouded. And honestly, I'm being 100% totally transparent with you guys. Some of it comes from a point of selfishness as well. It really does. So at the end of the day, it should be up to that young man or woman. All right, let's hear our final break. When I come back, we'll comment on the Moneyball Summer League Pro-Am rosters. Some interesting takeaways when looking at these rosters. We'll be right back. You are listening to the Hump Day edition of WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Less than 5 minutes in the show, and we'll expound upon this topic more on tomorrow's show when we have the founder of Moneyball Sportswear and the founder of the Moneyball League Summer Pro-Am, the one, the only, Desmond Ferguson, will join me on tomorrow's Current Sports to get you amped up. Opening day of Moneyball Summer League Pro-Am hoops tomorrow. Can you believe that? Starting with an all-star game, a pro all-star game at 5 p.m. You'll get the chance to usually see three games every Tuesday and Thursday at Aim High Sports Complex in Diamonddale. But on Thursday to kick it off, again, a special all-star game. Darrell Summers, former Michigan State baller, Darrell Summers is even playing in that all-star game tomorrow. I haven't seen Darrell in so long, man.
He was a beast.
He was good. He was good. I had a friend used to, you know, when I was in college, used to date Darrell Summers. That's crazy. I knew Darrell. Awesome stuff. Kay Felder will be playing as well, and Kay will be playing throughout most of the summer, but he'll be there. You know, he used to ball out for the Cleveland Cavaliers, and some other pros will be there as well. But Maurice Benson, Jalen Hayes as well. So it's going to be fun. Going to be fun tomorrow. And there are some really intriguing lineups, Connor. There really are. MSU's four new players, three incoming freshmen, Malik Hall, Rocket Watts, Julius Marble, and also transfer Joey Hauser. Those four are spread out on four different rosters. So that's really cool. So I'm seeing a question on our Facebook live stream. Is Rocket Watts going to play? Yes, Rocket Watts is on a team, and he is slated to play. Hall is on Team Roots, and I'm excited to ask Desmond about how they came up with these names. Team Roots, they're going to be wearing the black jerseys. Malik Hall is on that team, playing with MSU's Xavier Tillman. That's a loaded roster, also featuring former NBA point guard. Again, I mentioned Kay Felder, OU grad as well. Ex-Lansing, Sexton, and Oakland standout Jalen Hayes is also on that team. Marble is on Team Freeze. They're going to be wearing the royal blue. He'll be alongside Aaron Henry. Russell Bird, that's right, the Birdman, and Michigan's Xavier Simpson. This is really cool, Connor, because this is the first year, and Michigan assistant coach Saadi Washington encouraged this. This is why we're seeing this. This is the first year that we're going to get a chance to see multiple Michigan men's basketball players playing on the same roster as Michigan State men's basketball players. So the rivalry will be fun, and they'll all be singing Kumbaya, my Lord, and coming together and playing on the same hardwood. That's going to be awesome to see. I like that a lot. Do you like that? That's going to be really cool, I think.
Summer League basketball is just fun.
It is.
Every level, it's fun.
And please, I'm going to let this be known right now. And real quick, before I say this, Marcus Bingham and Foster Lawyer, two MSU sophomores, they'll be on Team Citron, in like the yellowish green. That's probably my favorite jersey. Watts, who isn't expected to join MSU's team until the end of the summer, again, he doesn't need to be enrolled at MSU to take part in the Pro-Am. So we will see Rocket Watts, all right? I'm guaranteeing that. But this is what I want to say. Because it happens every year, every summer here on Current Sports. I have people who comment on the live stream and people who call in and say, Al, did you see what fill in the blank with a player's name did last night
Nick
in the
Ward
Pro-Am?
Last year.
Perfect example, Luros Tum Tum Naren Jr., he shot, actually, Connor, 60% from three-point land like two summers ago. And I had people calling the show like, oh, that Tum Tum, he's going to light it up from deep. Folks, it's a summer pro-am. There's no defense being played. It's a glorified all-star game. Please don't bring that to the show.
How quickly you forget Nick Ward dropped like 62 last year, and we were getting calls about Nick.
Exactly, Connor. He had 60-plus points, and people are like, oh, Nick Ward's about to go off. Like, stop. It's summer basketball. It is in no way, shape, or form an indication on how these young men are going to perform next year on their respective college teams. So stop it with that. Just enjoy it. It's going to be high scoring. It's entertainment. And I will say, you get a chance to see what players are working on, but don't come with the hard takes. All right, we'll talk more Moneyball tomorrow. Have a good Wednesday. It's beautiful. Be easy, people.